And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you here today. Titans tight end Jonnu Smith scheduled to join us at 7:30. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the Titans and Ravens matchup with him. Lewis Riddick from ESPN, part of the Monday Night Football broadcast, joins us at 9 o'clock. So really looking forward to that conversation with him. And then we'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators at 9:30. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will stop by. So a lot to get to here on today's show. And as always, we'll get your reaction and thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how in the world are we doing? 2021 off to a great start.
2022, baby. I can see you off in the distance.
Took us six days.
You're only 359 days away.
Oh, man. What a day yesterday was.
You guys seen the Spider-Man meme?
Yeah.
That's what this year is already.
It was nice.
It's the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, might take us a little work to get to the good times. I have nothing brilliant to say about yesterday, but I will say that I started stalking people off this yesterday. Yeah. So basically, and it came about because another sports reporter in town during all this stuff going on yesterday, which, by the way, sometimes I try to sneak naps in the afternoon, and my wife woke me up and said, so the Capitol's under attack. I'm like, what? So you get on Twitter and it is everybody's. I mean, look, the whole world stopped.
Sure.
Right. Yesterday and took notice of this for hours of what was going on in our nation's capital. And that got me thinking, because then I saw a sports reporter during the middle of that, something like a mundane like tweet about the Titans injuries or something, you know? And I'm like, I wonder, like of all the people in town, like the sports reporters in town, like how many are looking at this and, you know, at least taking note, and how many are just totally like avoiding it. And now there's different reasons. Some people are like, I'm getting off Twitter altogether. Like Facebook, I don't get on. I have an account. I don't get on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Facebook might be worse than Twitter in times like this.
At times it could be, yes.
But Twitter, you know, Twitter's Twitter. I started stalking. I just went around to all the sports reporters in town, TV, radio, print, just seeing like, does anybody, you know, are they acknowledging this, ignoring this, talking about it? Because to me, it's like one of those things, like if we're all watching some crazy thing, like at the Oscars, you know, that's what social media is. We react to it, right?
Sure.
If we're all watching the national championship game, it's like, whoa, what a play, right? I mean, like this is one of those moments where you're like, what in the hell is happening in our country, you know? But I also understand that some people are like, I'm just not touching that stuff. I can't do it. I mean, I try. It's been like 2 months, Robbie, a good 2 months that I haven't even thought about things other than basically like family and job,
right,
which has been great because I hate politics. Like, I just really
Me too,
hate
man.
Politics.
It's the worst.
And like really don't like most politicians, you know, but now it all comes back yesterday. But anyway, like I appreciate you guys, and I'm not, I don't want to call anybody out for not. I just think it's a little weird, you know. I think it's a little weird when something this, when the entire globe stops and says, "What is happening there?" And you just go hours and like, oh, anyway, heck of a game tonight, huh? For the Vols, I find it to be a bit strange. So I appreciate you and Elijah. I stalked you guys.
You guys
reacted to this in some way. You know, the Teresa Walkers of the world, the Kyle Tuckers and John Burtons and Jeremy K. Govers, and Emily Prouds and Buck Risings, Brayden Galls, you know, I appreciate being willing to tick people off to react to this, because that's what it is. And anything like this, you are, you're stepping into the area of taking people off, losing followers, you know, on Twitter, of ticking people off. My buddy Charles Robinson and I were texting again yesterday about Twitter. This is like a daily thing now, because he put up a tweet like, boy, it's awfully quiet on my Twitter feed. Got to protect those followers, because he gets really mad when things like this happen. And some of his good friends in the business are like, really looking forward to these playoff games. I mean, it's a weird situation to be in. And I know some people are like, yeah, stick to sports, idiots. You're sports people. But also, like, big things happen in the world. Like, how do you not on social media have a reaction to them?
Yeah, like, it's an interesting, I don't know if balance is the right word. The sticks to sports things irritate me, because it's like, somehow, you know, sports people are the ones that, hey, you can't really have opinions on anything else. Like, I get it. You want to tune in and you want to hear the sports talk and you want to, you know, follow people on Twitter. And one of the greatest parts about sports is it's an escape from all this nonsense that we've had to deal with for the past year. And I tell you, the first thought I had watching all that stuff go down yesterday was just how exhausting the last year, year and a half has been, with just one thing after another continually going on and going on. But, you know, you're a human being. You're allowed to have opinions on things. And I realize, you know, sometimes maybe you feel like you're elevated or something like that, or you feel like you're different just because you're talking about sports all day, but you're a human being. I mean, you're allowed to have thoughts on things. So it's just an interesting balance. And yeah, I get it. I mean, I know a lot of people react to situations like this differently. Some just want to continue going about their day and worrying about things that they can control. And I respect that. And I have a healthy respect for that. I think people handle things in different ways, but I think, you know, just because you work in a certain field or do a certain thing for a living, that doesn't just disqualify you from being a normal human being and having thoughts on everyday things.
Yeah. So again, I don't have like an intent to like call anybody out, but I actually did individually call someone out on this yesterday, just because, again, in the middle of this, it was like this completely mundane sports post. Like, I mean, like at The Athletic, for example, like, I mean, our editors basically just stopped posting sports stories yesterday. It was basically just like, you know what, with all this going on, let's just hold back. Now is not the time to, like, hey, look, read our, you know, story about Patrick Mahomes, you know, which I think is a good decision. Just sort of pull back and just, this is what everyone's talking about. But like, so this person posted like, you know, just like a thing. And so we kind of went back and forth, and this person's point was, you know, I'd rather like listen to the experts. Like, I don't like, why does sports writer feel like what they say matters? And I get that. But again, I mean, it's social media. Like, dude, sometimes I tweet like I basically like, it's like burping the alphabet, right? I mean, Twitter is not like all brilliant stuff.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's sometimes it's just like what you're feeling in the moment. I mean, like, that's what it says. Like, dude, I don't expect you to have expert analysis, but I'm like, how are you not, you know, if you're on Twitter and you're active on it and you're talking about something else, you know, that to me at that moment, I was like, man, that's just kind of weird. So, but hey, to each his or her own. I think the stick to sports stuff a lot of times is because you don't agree with my opinion. So now you stick to sports.
Right. Yeah, I do think there's a lot of that. And, you know, I was interested to see what impact, if any, it had in sports yesterday. And I was looking forward last night to the Celtics and the Heat playing. And all of a sudden, like 12 minutes before the game's supposed to start, neither team's out there for warmups. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I thought back to the bubble in Orlando and obviously everything that happened with the Jacob Blake shooting, and then the ruling that came out on that the other day in Kenosha. And, you know, they ended up playing the game. I think they released a joint statement between the Celtics and the Heat, just talking about not only that, but what happened yesterday at the Capitol. And they made the decision to go ahead and play the game. But I did think that maybe there would be an impact in the NBA once again, similar to how we saw a few months ago when they were in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, I think there was some. I mean, I think the Warriors and Clippers. Well, there was a George Washington College game, which obviously is right there in D.C. that was canceled. Warriors and Clippers, you know, both teams kneeled before the anthem, but yeah, not a ton of impact. I ended up watching. I mean, it was actually fantastic to have a Vols basketball game as a diversion.
Yeah.
From this last night, watch them. Which good win for them, by the way. They're not playing well right now, but
that Arkansas team's a little bit better than I thought they were. That's what I noticed. The name Arkansas is pretty good.
They're actually really good.
The Vols. Yeah, and the Vols right now are the team that, you know, people taking shots at, and it's kind of like Vanderbilt made shots they don't normally make against Kentucky the other night, and Arkansas was making these step-in contested mid-range shots, which really is what Tennessee wants to be the result of defensive possessions, but they're making them, you know? I mean, they put the – and then obviously those some of those scramble situations, they hit threes, but, you know, Fulkerson, but Josiah James, he's that guy has got to be in attack mode, and if he is – He's a special player who can do everything well.
Yeah, and like you said, Tennessee not playing the best right now, but able to find a way to win the game. So you're right, that was a welcome distraction last night, given the craziness of yesterday. It was funny, like I was doing Predator stuff yesterday with their practice and media availability, and I'm with you, Joe. I've become a pro at the afternoon nap, so I go in there, I start to take my nap. And all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up. My wife comes in the next room and says, hey, you might want to turn on TV, see what's happening. So the nap, Joe, did not happen yesterday. So I hope that I'm at the top of my game today on the radio with a little amount of sleep that I've gotten.
Yeah, well, you're going to need to carry me. So
okay, thank you.
All of a sudden,
pressure.
Like insomnia. Yeah. All of a sudden, like insomnia, which has never been a thing for me, is becoming a thing. So that's cool. Maybe that's just part of 2021.
Yeah, just another fantastic thing.
Another year older.
That's right. Now just add insomnia to the mix. When we come back, we will get back into the Titans, continue to look ahead to the game against the Ravens. We're going to do that all show long here today and get your reaction on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Titans tight end Jonnu Smith joining us at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation. We'll look ahead to the matchup against the Ravens with him coming up on Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. So, Joe, we talked about it before the season and the goal that we had for this Titans team, the kind of the next step we felt like they should take was winning the division and winning the AFC South for the first time since 2008. They've done that. Now, it didn't look exactly the way that we thought it would look in terms of the balance on both sides of the ball. The offense has been great. The defense has been horrible, and we'll see what that translates to once the playoffs come around. But they've got it. They've got a home playoff game. Home field advantage for at least one round of the playoffs coming up this weekend against the Ravens. So as you look at it, do you think that means anything in 2020/2021 in this NFL season? Is there any positive that goes into having home field advantage when you know going into it, if you're the Titans, you're just not going to have the same crowd that you typically would for a home playoff game and the same buzz surrounding the stadium?
No, I think it still matters. That place has a few times this year gotten pretty loud. You know, 16,000 people can still make some noise. It's not enough noise to bother the opponent. So that's one thing that's been completely lost. And certainly in the NFL, maybe some of these SEC crowds have been able to get to that point. I mean, I swear Georgia somehow put like double the people they said were there.
I know.
For a couple of those games, you know. So maybe some of those games you've actually had to, you know, worry about the snap count. I don't know. If you guys can remember seeing a game this year where like a team actually had to go to a silent count, let me know. I don't recall that specifically, but
me either.
But you know, so, and that's a big part, obviously. If you have a packed stadium, deafening noise, and you can bother your opponent, that's a big deal. But listen, I mean, even just having the, you know, 16,000 people cheer for you when you score a touchdown or try to make some noise on third down, try to give you at least a little bit of encouragement. It still matters. It matters less, but it matters some.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it is, I guess, in one way, kind of a shame when you think about how long it's been since the Titans have been able to have a game like this, going back to the 08 season early in 2009 of January, hosting that playoff game against the Ravens then, and you're 13-3, and the crowd heading into that game, you felt like that team really had a chance to win a Super Bowl, and obviously we know what happened in the game, but it's been a long time since you've had a home playoff game at Nissan Stadium, and it is a shame that you're not going to get to have that full environment, and we'll see, you know, what the situation looks like next year. Titans are going to be hopefully right back in the mix for the AFC South title once again. But I do wonder, you know, just in terms of being at home and being able to sleep in your own bed and, you know, having that home crowd, albeit limited in the game, what sort of an impact that will have on the Titans. Maybe you're able to generate enough noise where you can at least cause some problems when you're on defense for that Ravens offense. But you're right, Joe. I don't think it's going to be quite the same. But still an accomplishment. I mean, we talked about that being a goal, that being the next step for this Titans team. I think it's important from a mental standpoint and just from, hey, we got this done. We finally got back to the top of the AFC South. I think that's important for this group. And just, you know, I know that the book is still to be written and you're ultimately judged on what happens in the playoffs. But to get this regular season accomplishment done and win the AFC South title, there is still pride in that, even if it doesn't mean as much as it used to mean in terms of the home field advantage.
Right. I mean, two other Titans teams have ever done it, so that alone is something. And you did it in a year with it. There was another really good team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Texans were down, so I guess you could say the Jaguars were the Jaguars. The Texans were down, but still, I mean, that was a good race, and you won it. And anytime you win that race in this franchise, that's a big deal. So, you know, it's interesting. The Titans were better on the road at home. They were 6-2 on the road. They're 5-3 at home this year. That's kind of reflected across the NFL too, in what we've just been talking about. I mean, it's not as adverse for road teams, not even close. And in a lot of these stadiums, it's just nobody watching.
Yeah.
You know, so that just totally changes the dynamics. But, you know, 5-3. You think about, they've had some really good performances. They've also had some stinkers. I mean, a couple of their worst halves, probably their worst two halves of the season, right? The second half against Indy, and certainly the first half against Cleveland is the worst half. I mean, under Vrabel, the worst half in, I don't know, years?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 38-7, it's hard to do, to give up 38 points and a half. So two of their worst halves were played at home, which is interesting. But obviously they've had some great performances at home too, Buffalo being the one that really stands out.
So where do you think the confidence level of Titans fans is right now heading into that game? Because it's interesting, you look at, you know, Vegas and the way they feel about this game, and we talked about it yesterday on the show, the Ravens are favored in this game by 3 at the moment right now, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're the favorite to score the most points in Wild Card Weekend. And you look at it, the Titans, you've had this great season. You're 11-5. You've won the division for the first time since 08. You've got that home playoff game. How do we think Titans fans are feeling heading into this matchup, knowing that you've beaten the Ravens twice? Are they nervous? Are you excited about this game? I've kind of sensed some nervous energy from Titans fans this week on Twitter.
I can't get a great read on it. It feels to me like there's excitement, but also just sort of, and it's unfortunate, but also I understand it. It's just this, and this is also like, even like in comments on stuff I've written, and so it's like this, I just, you know, it's just hard to trust this defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but again, this is kind of where, how do you feel going to the game is like, who are you? If you are straight up glass half full all the time, then you're like, this offense can beat anyone. Let's go. And if you're a little more the other way, then it's hard to have a ton of confidence. I think, I mean, look, there's been plenty of average to even below average defenses that have made runs in the playoffs, but not really terrible defenses. And frankly, that's by most measures, that's what this one is. So that's the problem. Also though, like, I don't think the nervousness is there that you might normally have for being, you know, the home team in a game like this. Obviously the road team has won all four of these matchups. I mean, the Ravens are favored. So I kind of think there's probably a little bit of a edge there, maybe. And maybe I'm talking more about the team now, but even for fans, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? I think at worst, people are looking at this kind of like, even up, let's see what happens, rather than, oh my gosh, I hope they don't shock us. Last year, obviously the Ravens are like, you know, let's get rid of these pesky 6 seeds and get on to the real stuff. I mean, there's none of that. So there's no worry about like your team looking ahead this week. I mean, they're the underdog at home.
Yeah, and to that point, it's interesting, I think, to kind of get a viewpoint from Titans fans on what do you consider a success for this season. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. But, like, you've just gone 11-5. You've won the division for the first time since 2008. I wonder if you get beat on Sunday, if you go back to the divisional round and get beat. Like, what's the point of demarcation where this season is considered a success or not a success based on expectations heading into it? Like, I wonder what this Titans team has to do in the playoffs for most Titans fans to consider this a success. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, go to the Super Bowl. Well, that's great. I mean, yes, you'd love to go to the Super Bowl. With this defense, how realistic is that? I don't know. I'm not sure. I just wonder what that line is for Titans fans of what they would consider a successful season with this group.
So how is the 2008 season viewed now? Like, what was that? Like, you know, what's the, if a Titans fan has to describe, like, put one or two words on the 2008 season, what would it be?
That's a great question. I mean, I would describe it as fun. I thought it was, especially when you talk about, you know, the year before, you've gone to the playoffs, you lost to the Chargers, quarterback situation changes, Kerry Collins is coming in, Chris Johnson's first year there. That team was fun. So I thought 2008 was a very successful year. And then, you have the disappointment in the playoffs and Chris Johnson getting hurt. We talked to him about that yesterday and the Ravens walking away with a 13-10 win. I still view that season as a success. I think probably the majority of Titans fans say, man, what could have been if you won that Ravens game? Just based on a couple weeks before, you beat the Steelers in a great game, and that was really determining who was going to be the one seed in the AFC, and then the Steelers go on that year to win the Super Bowl. So I do think there is kind of a what if, what could have been missed opportunity feeling with that team, but I still, just based on everything that was happening before that, I consider that team a success.
So then last year, you kind of, not the reverse, but you have the sneak in as the lowest seed.
Right.
You know, a little bit like the Preds run in 2017, not as far, but you have that, and then you have these great couple of wins in the playoffs, and you have these incredible performances by Derrick Henry. So I'm assuming, you know, last year will always be regarded better as 2008, even though the 2008 team was a more consistent and overall won a bunch more games than that team.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. So it just kind of is interesting how you view this season, because you're right off a trip to the AFC title game and you feel like you're right on the doorstep. And I think people are going to have a hard time. Like, if this Titan season ends on Sunday, you're going to have a hard time separating, you know, how great this offense has been and how Super Bowl quality that it is right now, and then just how bad the defense has been. Like, they've never really been in a situation like this. Like, when you've had a playoff team and the Titans have been good in years past, I don't know if they've ever been, you know, elite on either side of the ball, maybe with the exception of that 2000 team. That defense was amazing, and that offense was really, really good. But, I mean, you've always at least been adequate on both sides of the ball. I think that kind of plays into this year of going off the AFC title game. The expectations are there. You finally have a quarterback that you feel great about, and now it just feels like if it ends on Sunday, that defense is going to be a total waste of an offense that who knows if you'll never see again. Like, we feel like, you know, Derrick Henry is going to come back and be good next year, and Ryan Tannehill, he's going to continue to be a really, really good player for this team, but who knows if it'll ever be at this level again. So I do think that's going to play a big part into the discussion of whether or not you view this season as a success.
Yeah, I mean, look, you raised the expectations by what you did last year. And so, really, I mean, I think going into this year, we asked this question, and one of the things was definitely win the division, start there. Win the division, get a home game, and at that point, you weren't sure, you know, maybe the home game means more by now. You didn't know, but, you know, it still means something. But, I mean, look, if you make a run to a certain point, the next year, you got to at least get to that point, right? Now, I do think if this team wins Sunday and, let's say, goes to Kansas City the next week and loses a close game, and, you know, like the Chiefs go on to win it all or whatever, I think it'd be hard to feel bad about this year. It's a really good year. But yeah, if you're 1-and-done after this, then the bulk of the conversation is going to be, man, if you only did A, B, C instead of the D, E, F that you actually did, what could this have been?
So now that the regular season is done and we're looking ahead to the wild card weekend and the first round matchup for the Titans against the Ravens, what Titan would we give the most improved award to for this regular season? Joe and I will discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the matchup for the Titans against the Ravens coming up this Sunday, wild card weekend here in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, all show long, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, now that the regular season has come and gone, we're getting ready for a playoff game here in Nashville coming up on Sunday. As you look back through the regular season, as you look back through the ups and downs of what it looked like for the Titans this year, if you had to identify some candidates for most improved player this year, whether that's a player from last year to this year taking a huge jump, whether it's a player that maybe didn't take a gigantic jump in terms of statistics, but you thought played a whole lot better than you expected heading into this year, if you had to give a most improved award to a player on the Titans from the regular season, who are some candidates that come to mind?
I mean, are we allowed to say Derrick Henry?
I guess. I mean, yeah, you can put him in there.
It's pretty amazing. Look, again, with Derrick Henry, consider the different conditions. Last year, we talked about this the other day, but that offensive line, the offensive line is always a part of a running game. You cannot look at this running game of Derrick Henry and not give credit to the offensive line. But think about different bodies lacking one Pro Bowler and one former All-Pro at the two tackles, that you had blocking for you a year ago during this, especially the late season surge. And then look at it now. I mean, they've been banged up and influxed and mixing and matching, and the guy gets 2,000. But I mean, look, I'm not looking at anybody on D. I'll spoiler alert. I'm like, I can't, there's no one on that side of the ball that I think qualifies.
Rashawn Evans not in that category this year?
He is not. There's nobody. Jeffrey Simmons early in the year, and Jeffrey Simmons is good this year. But I thought Jeffrey Simmons, even at the end of last year, in fewer snaps for sure, but you saw some of his playmaking ability. Like you've said, Robbie, that there's a guy who you want at the end of this postseason, however long it lasts, to think more about him for this, because you want to notice him more in the postseason. But I go to – obviously Corey Davis comes to mind, but I go to Nate Davis. Nate Davis, and it's sort of – like if you're comparing it to last year as a whole, if we remember, he was struggling early last year. And for one thing, Jameel Douglas, he couldn't get on the field. Then he got on the field and he was really struggling. And that was part of the whole story of the offense getting better. Tannehill's the number one reason, but getting Lawan back and getting Nate Davis going was a big thing. This is what's supposed to happen when you draft a rookie offensive lineman is, it takes him a little bit of time and then they work hard and they earn a spot, and then they justify the draft pick, whereas we keep seeing Isaiah Wilson videos of him, with big stacks of cash, in Miami. There's no more – there can't be any more patience for, his crap right now.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that this week, and I feel like we probably should. I mean, you look at this with Isaiah Wilson, and, you said it the other day, Joe, when something like this happens – the immediate reaction on Twitter is, hey, just let's go ahead and cut bait, move on from that guy. And I agree with you, that's not going to happen. I will say, the more and more that things continue to happen with that guy, the more I'm open to at least considering it. I know they're not going to do it, and they're not going to move on from Isaiah Wilson, at least I don't think so, after 1 year. But, man, it's really tough for me right now to see that pick working out. It just is.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Yeah, in general, no way. In general, first-round pick, even if it's off-the-field trouble, whatever it is, that's such a big investment. I mean, that is a big part of your future that you are saying this guy's going to be a part of it. So you just don't. But if he's going to be like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. I'm spending this rookie money and I don't care about football. And that's where we're obviously not privy to all the conversations, but actions like this by him make me wonder, is he even saying the right things anymore?
Yeah.
And if he stops saying the right things and demonstrating any interest in improving and trying to, be a professional and earn the money, well, then it speeds up the process. So yeah, in general, no way. But if it's like, okay, this guy just flat out doesn't want to do it and isn't going to be a professional, isn't going to shape up, is going to keep doing stupid crap. I don't think it, I'm not sitting here saying, well, let's check back in 2023 and we'll see what it all looks like. I mean, I think it'll be resolved way before then. I mean, this offseason is, as soon as it gets to the offseason, that's one of the huge stories. Does this guy want to be a professional football player or just spend what little money? It's sad to see. And I've had a lot of sympathy for, a young person, especially in this year and this time, kind of being isolated, but then you're a professional for the first time. I mean, there's a lot of things about it that you can say like, okay, I mean, this isn't easy for everyone. You got to take a lot of things into account. But if you're going to go put stuff like that out at this point, after all these other things, that's to me starting to look like screw everybody, And at some point you lose patience for that. You have to.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Titans fans are already there. I mean, and that's one thing for fans to be there. I realize that it's another thing for management and the coaching staff and people involved in the decision-making process to be there. But I do wonder, like, if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and just kind of knowing Mike Vrabel the way that we do at this point and what kind of a no-nonsense guy that he is, like, at what point are you just tired of dealing with this and putting up with it? I mean, I'm sure you're probably already there. The question is, how tired of you are you really willing to move on from a first-round pick and that kind of an investment already? I don't know whether or not they're there at that point, but I don't think the leash is going to be very long for Isaiah Wilson moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, look, and some of the arguments I've had with people is like, well, okay, so John Robinson isn't going to cut him because he wants to save face. It's way more than that. It's this is a huge investment. I mean, you have to, because what also can happen in these situations, if you are too quick and then all of a sudden he does figure it out and he matures and he goes somewhere else and he's a great right tackle, then, there was your first round pick for naught. I mean, you have to be sure. That's the big thing. I mean, John Robinson has taken L's before. I mean, he took the L on Kevin Dodd and that took some time, and that wasn't the same as this at all. I mean, it was just basically a frustrating player, drafted high in the second round. And it wasn't like some off the field stuff. He was just bad. He just didn't work out. John Robinson got to take the L on Clowney and Beasley and just this whole off season of acquisitions that didn't work out. But it's not about avoiding that to me. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's just, you got to make sure. Isaiah Wilson is starting to make it look a lot more like it'll be easy to be sure, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And, in terms of most improved players, he's not going to be on this list from the start of this season until now. I'm glad you brought up Nate Davis. I mean, I think he's been outstanding this year. The first player that came to mind to me in this conversation was, I think, exactly who you led it off with. It was actually Derrick Henry. I mean, I think it's crazy to say it. You lead the league in rushing last year. You got over 1,500 yards. You're a huge part of the playoff run. I think he's gotten better this year. I mean, the numbers prove that out. I think just the way that he's running the ball, he's at the top level. The other guy I would go with, obviously, Corey Davis as well. And I think we've seen the impact that he's had offensively. But I agree, that's kind of one of the reasons to bring this exercise up, is I was trying to see how many different guys, like how deep we could go into this discussion for most improved players before a defensive guy really even gets into the conversation. Like, it's pretty amazing to me when you factor in, Malcolm Butler being hurt last year. I think he's had a pretty good season, relative to what the rest of the defense has looked like. But it's just interesting to think about how deep you can get into this discussion before a defensive player even comes to mind.
Right. Like, I mean, I think he's had a good year. I think Jayon Brown was having a good year. I think Kenny Vaccaro's had a pretty good year. But I don't see anybody who is improved. You know, like, yeah. Well, whoa, that guy's better. I mean, you can see that on the offensive side. You can see it also. I would throw Dennis Kelly into that too. When you talk about now, it's your job. You are the right tackle. You're not the swing guy anymore. You can come in a pinch. You are the guy. Can you handle it? And I mean, I think he's done pretty well. You know, look, Jack Conklin is a very good player, but I think Dennis Kelly has justified that aspect of the whole thing. The problem is, of course, who you drafted to be the future guy. Yeah. That's the problem with letting Conklin go. But the early instant impact or instant short-term move has worked out well, because I think Dennis Kelly has really stepped up and responded. You know, the guy we're going to have on later, I think Jonnu Smith has improved each year. And, you know, his role has had to change some. You haven't seen him as much in the passing game. But I think he has gotten better each year.
I do wonder if Taylor Lewan doesn't go down and you still feel great about your offensive line from a pass protection standpoint, where Jonnu Smith would be on this list. Because, I mean, the early part of this season, I mean, he was catching touchdowns left and right. You know, you think back to that Jacksonville game, the second game of the year. He starts the game off with basically like a 65-yard catch. I mean, we've seen how dangerous he can be with the ball in his hands. I do wonder, like, if he wasn't having to chip in and protect as much as he's had to do this year, where he would be on this list. Maybe he'd be at the top.
Yeah, and he's really going to be a fascinating case in terms of, you know, what kind of money he can get, the interest in him, and where he is on that priority list for the Titans. Because, you know, those the what you just mentioned there maybe controls the price a little bit.
Yeah.
But anybody who really knows what he is as a player, I don't, you know, it hasn't changed. He's a talent. He is someone that you want on your team. So, you know, like Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, if you had to pick one, if right now, if you, Robbie Stanley, are the GM and you had to pick one of those guys to sign to a second deal right now, who would you do? Who would you sign?
That's tough. It really is. You know, we've talked about it all year, and I think Corey Davis, based on the year he had, is probably the answer most people would come up with. But I also think it's probably easier to find a replacement for Corey Davis than it would be for Jonnu Smith. So I don't know. I would still slightly lean Corey Davis just based on how difficult it's been for this franchise to find some receivers, but it's close. I don't think a lot of people would think it would be close. I think it's very close.
I do too. And in fact, I'm leaning the other way, but you know, just because of what you said, I think Jonnu Smith is a special, combination of skills and physical ability. You want them both back. You badly want them both back. But if I had to make a choice, I think that's the way I'd go, because, like you said, I mean, you look at the draft this year, there are a lot of really good receivers. And it's kind of where we are, and even like in college football right now, I mean, there are receivers ready to come in and play well in the NFL like never before, I think. Jonnu Smith, there are not a lot of Jonnu Smiths running around.
There certainly are not. Not a lot of Jonnu Smiths built like that guy. And how devastating he can be with the football in his hands after play. And looking forward to having Jonnu Smith on the show with us at 7:30 and that conversation with him, looking ahead to the game against the Ravens coming up on Sunday. And speaking of that game, where does the game against the Ravens rank in terms of the most intriguing matchups on Wild Card Weekend? We'll discuss when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, Gary Force Acura, and Blue Note Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This week's game will be an AFC wildcard matchup as the Indianapolis Colts take on the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Kickoff is at 12:05 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, speaking of that matchup between the Colts and the Bills, looking forward to that one coming up on Sunday. You also in the AFC have the Steelers and the Browns, and then the Titans and the Ravens. So when you look at Wild Card Weekend as a whole, we had Adam Kaplan on yesterday from SiriusXM, He said the Ravens-Titans matchup is the one he's looking forward to the most, and that has been a popular sentiment around the league, given how well the Ravens have been playing as of late, Derrick Henry getting to 2,000 yards, and just the recent history between these two teams in the last calendar year. So where do the Ravens and the Titans rank, in your opinion, Joe, when you look at the matchups this weekend in terms of the matchups around the league that you're looking forward to the most?
Well, see, first of all, it's hard to separate. I mean, it's the one I'm looking forward to the most. You know, it's the team I cover,
sure.
And so it's the team I know the best. But if I tried to step back and say, if I'm an unaffiliated, you know, viewer in this country, like where am I going first if I had to rank them? I'd definitely look at Cleveland, Pittsburgh. I mean, I think maybe the two best and most intriguing games are both on Sunday, both in the AFC. And obviously the Cleveland-Pittsburgh intrigue sort of maybe, I guess it could go up or down depending on how you look at it with the COVID situation. And by the way, let's have our head on a swivel this morning, by the way, when it comes to the Titans. My understanding is, we'll see there every day you got test results that come in. So let's wait and see on that. But right now the facility's open. And look, I mean, like we're seeing with Cleveland, it would take something massive for that game not to happen as scheduled. I might make the three AFC games my top three games of the whole thing.
No love for the NFC for you.
Well, look, I really hope Washington football team can make that a game against Tampa Bay. I think that the defense has a chance to, but man, that offense just really, really struggles. I mean, it'd be great. Like Alex Smith get hot and they can score some points. I don't have a lot of faith in that. I don't have a lot of faith in the Bears hanging in New Orleans. I don't think the Bears are very good. And I think New Orleans is going to take this new season and run with it. Now, the other one, though, I think those are the easy last two games. And again, I
agreed.
Hope they both pleasantly surprise us. But Los Angeles, Seattle, I swear 6-7 weeks ago, I might have said, oh, that's your first round playoff game? Give me that. But I guess it's just because both teams have been stinking up offensively. I'm not as excited about it.
I would agree. Like, I thought the Rams, and we talked about it, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago at this point, may have been the biggest threat in the NFC at the time, just based on how good their defense is with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, all the pieces you've got back there. And at the time, they were able to run the ball. They were playing pretty well offensively, even with Jared Goff at the quarterback, which I still think he's very limited in what he can do. Sean McVay has done wonders with him, but it's gone the complete other way. Obviously, Goff has had some injury problems the last couple of weeks as well, so we'll see whether or not he's even able to play in this game against Seattle. The Rams keeping that very close to the vest at this point. But regardless of if he is or not, that offense just isn't playing as well or the same way as it was, 3-4 weeks ago at this point. So that game, to me, between Seattle and L.A., it has lost a lot of luster. And we talked to Kaplan yesterday about Russell Wilson and just kind of how he's fallen off a cliff the last 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season. I mean, he was the runaway MVP favorite, the first 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season. And that just, it doesn't even look like the same player out there right now. So it's been very interesting to see how that Seattle offense that was pretty much humming along for the majority of the season, it's struggled as of late. That game has lost a lot of its appeal to me as well. Now that we've said that, Joe, it'll probably end up being 38-35 as the final.
Yeah, I mean, hey, even if it's like 24-21, I mean, that could be a great game. I mean, I think it's got a lot of potential. This is another thing, too, is game like Los Angeles at Seattle. This is that place is one of those, usually that's one of the things that's like maybe the best crowd in the NFL, right?
So, yeah.
So you get excited for like, wow, what will that look like in the postseason? Of course, they have no fans at all. So it's also, that's one of those places where there's a real contrast there. But yeah, I think the AFC, it's a better conference by far, dominated the NFC head to head. And again, 11-5 is your worst record in the AFC. I have more faith in the Colts, and I think a lot of people do, to have a chance. You know, running the football, and you got to get after Josh Allen, and you got to, you know, you got to not let him escape the pocket and things like that. But I got some hope. I just, you know, is Uncle Phil going to make it happen?
Well, it's also one of those things, like when you look at the Bills and the Browns, like until I actually see them have postseason success, I'm not sure that I'm going to believe it. Like with the Bills, I get it. Like they're really good and they've been playing really well as of late. But it's one of those things with that franchise, like until I watch them with my own eyes not screw it up, I go in believing there's a chance they screw it up.
And see, this is a product of generation too.
Because yes.
Of course, I certainly remember them having a lot of postseason success, which kind of died that day in Nashville 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, January, whatever that was, 2000, if you remember the date. Like from then on, it was like, oh, okay. And frankly, at that point, the whole country was sick of Buffalo having postseason success because then they would always screw it up in the Super Bowl. But yeah, it's funny you said that because I hadn't even really thought about that. You know, I mean, obviously they weren't even in it for a long time with Cleveland. It's like, I mean, it's incredible. As bad as the Lions are, even the Lions have been to the playoffs like six times, yeah. I think, since Cleveland last. I mean, think about that, you know? I mean, that's so – but maybe it's that their special kind of year. I still like their team. I still like their chances in that game. I really think they got a shot.
I do too. I mean, to me, that's the game I'm looking forward to the most outside of the Titans and the Ravens. It's still the Steelers and the Browns, and I get it. You know, with the COVID situation and everything going on with Stefanski and not being able to call plays and coach in that game, I do think that has an effect. But just you never know what Pittsburgh team is going to show up. I mean, with the way that offense has been trending and Ben Roethlisberger and the struggles he had the last few weeks, I just don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Steelers. So it's crazy to say, like when you look at the recent history of the Browns, especially the Browns playing at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh and like no success that they've had there, but it is, I think, still on the table that the Browns can find a way to win that game. Like, you know, we'll have Pigskin pick 'em coming up tomorrow. Little bit of a teaser, maybe going with the Browns in that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Still have some decisions to make on that front.
We gonna do all the games?
Might as well.
We gonna do a massive Pigskin Pick'em plus the Natty, do seven games?
Yeah. Might as well. Why not? I need all the help I can get in this competition. I can either fall way further behind than I already am or maybe make up some ground at some point. It's been rough. When we come back, we'll continue to look ahead at the playoff picture in the NFL. What's our most likely dark horse candidate to make a Super Bowl run here in the playoffs? Where do the Titans fall into that mix? We'll discuss when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.